Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Brad King as my special expert guest. Brad King is a nutritional researcher and one of Canada's most sought-after authorities on nutrition, obesity, longevity, and men's health. He holds a master's in nutritional science and is certified by the International Sports Sciences Association. Aside from being a visiting professor at Boucher Institute of Naturopathic Medicine, Brad also sits on the expert editorial advisory panel of the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, offered worldwide by the Corey Hawley Institute. Brad is the author of 11 books, including the international bestsellers Fat Wars, BioAge, and the award-winning Beer Belly Blues. In 2003, he was inducted into the Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame, and in 2010, he was awarded with the Best in Canada Award for Health Motivator, Educator, and Public Speaker. Brad's main motto is, it's not that you age, it's how you choose to age that matters. Hey, Brad, good morning. Welcome to this month's edition of
Hey, Dr. Hawley, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. It's great to have you on the line. And I suppose you're being a very super busy dude and all kinds of things going on. I want to kind of reel you in just for a moment or two, and maybe you can tell our listening audience how it is that you got to the point where you are in your life now. What attracts you to the health industry? You're a great writer. You're a formulator. You've been in the business for a long time. What kind of pulled you in going back to the beginning?
You know, talk about the law of nature and, you know, what you really believe in and what you really want to achieve within your life. If you really believe it strong enough, how it actually becomes your life sooner than later, and many times sooner than later. You know, for me, unfortunately, I turned what most people would call a tragedy. I mean, obviously, I called it a tragedy at the time as well, which happened to be going back about 20 years ago. I was very close with my mother. She was actually one of my best friends. And she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And it was very interesting. I had come home from school and I hadn't seen her in a few months. And, you know, when she met me at the door, I noticed a tremendous amount of weight loss in her. I mean, she wasn't a big woman to start with, but, you know, literally she was just skin and bones, and I knew something was wrong. And she wasn't one of these people that went to the doctor very often. You know, not that that's recommended anyway for the majority of people nowadays. But the interesting thing was I did convince her to go to the doctor that day because I knew something was definitely wrong. And literally that day changed my life forever because she was diagnosed and it turned out to have 3 months to live from that day. And it was a shock, obviously, not just to me, to my family. I have siblings. You know, my father was alive at the time. And literally 3 months to the day that my mother was given that so-called death sentence, she passed away. And lo and behold, my father, who had to come and live with me at the time because he all of a sudden became very sick. And this is a man that was in his 70s that was never sick a day in his life. And it just goes to show, you know, the connection to other human beings, you know, the relationships that we have in our life and how important those are, bioelectrically speaking as well, because we all share that same bioelectrical and chemical space, if you will. And what happened was my father became very sick and ended up dying of prostate cancer and heart disease within 6 months to the day that my mother passed away. So, you know, that was a big wake-up call for me. You know, I changed my area, which was in nutrition, but not in this level of nutrition that I'm in now. And I really started to delve into an area of research, which was genetic predisposition to disease. And that's the way I looked at it at the time, that, oh my God, I've got a lot of disease in my family, and I need to do something about it so that one day I don't succumb to, you know, what happened to them and what happened to other families. Members. And what's really interesting, you know, Dr. Hawley, that you know, and you talk about this a lot, is there's two ways to look at this. You can look at it as genetic susceptibility to disorders that you share with your family heritage, or you could look at it to genetic susceptibility to health Very few people look at it that way, but what happened was I learned very quickly that your genes or your DNA or your templates or whatever you want to call what we are and what governs who we are, these genes are nothing more than templates, and we build this unique life experience upon those templates, and we do it because of our lifestyle strategies, because of our dietary choices, and that's every second of every day, and also because of the environment in which we choose to live. And when I talk about environment, you know, it's pretty cold where I live right now, which is in Vancouver, and I know you're not that far away, so it's probably pretty cold where you are as well. So we can choose to live, obviously, in a warmer environment like you have in Hawaii, which I think is a pretty good choice. However, when I talk about environment, I'm talking about your internal environment. I'm talking about what do you allow into your life? What do you allow into your mind? Are you like the majority of people who are constantly complaining and you're a negative thinker the majority of the time? Or do you try to buck the system? Are you different? Do you work very hard at changing those inbred programs like I do so much, like you do so much, and like a lot of the students that you teach, and tell them how important that really is? And that was really the turning point for me, was those few years of heavy-duty research into what we are capable of becoming once we not only set our minds to it, once we apply our bodies to it as well. And it is absolutely incredible, and I've never looked back since.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I very much feel that way as well. The more I continue along this vein, exploring, living out the life. We just got back from Ottawa. We stayed with a family there in Fort Erie, and I was talking to one of the fathers. He's 87, and he has never heard of this idea that environment, the outside, the air, the water, the food, affects our outcome. He's never even heard of this. So there's a lot of people out there that are convinced that they're just stuck with their genes, they're stuck with the heart attacks. They don't have any connection to that web of life. They don't really see how they're involved in their own disease pathology, and I'm sure you see that all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we become these victims of our circumstances, but we create those circumstances. And you and I have had so many deep conversations about this. And there's a whole new area of research that we've also discussed before, which is the whole area of we have the say and we have a really big play in who we become later on in our lives. But we need to change the programs first. And very few people actually do that. I mean, you know, so many people are governed by how many candles they have on their birthday cakes, how many years they've moved away from the womb, how old they are chronologically speaking. It drives me crazy. You know, I have conversations with these people all the time because I travel extensively, and I hear these people saying, oh, you know, well, that sounds incredible, or hey, I read your book, or I saw you in a lecture, and it really made sense, but, you know, I'm 60, or I'm 70, or I'm 80, or God knows how old they are. It doesn't even matter, but the point is, you know, they're always blaming everything on their linear age, and it drives me crazy because that has absolutely nothing to do with it. And just very quickly, you know, I'm in between gyms at the moment, and so I've been training at these various rec centers around my facility here, and I went to one of these rec centers the other day, and I was doing cardio. They had this big glass window, and I was looking down. There's a gymnasium below, and I just saw this class of so-called elderly people. And I say so-called because I don't know how old they are chronologically, but they looked very old because they were moving very slow, and they had a very low range of mobility, and there was someone that was leading a class. And I just thought to myself, what happened to these individuals to get them to a point where they lost the majority of who they once were? How did they lose that mobility? Did they not move their bodies their entire lives? You know, there's one thing if we get into a devastating accident and, you know, we have to be rehabilitated. You know, there's nothing we can do about that sometimes. We have to work within our means. But let's face it, the majority of the population have not been in a devastating accident. They have just allowed their bodies to really deactivate in a sense. If we don't use it, we do lose it, and that's right down to the energy centers of the body. And if we don't maintain the energy, the actual energy centers in every single one of our 100 trillion cells, you know, they basically implode. They break apart. They don't produce the right amount of energy. If we're not able to do that, then we degenerate as opposed to regenerate. And that is what premature aging is all about. And it just amazes me that we've all been given this miraculous vehicle to take us through life in style, in a Lamborghini, to go from point A to point B, and many of us choose to trade it in for an old clunker, and that is really our choice, and we have to start living up to that.
Absolutely, and I just want to make a comment about the 100 trillion. It's actually 100 trillion and one, because I've been counting them lately, and I've been spending, 50 years counting the cells. No, you know what's interesting? Pauling, he said it was like 80 trillion. This David Sinclair, who did the research on resveratrol, he says 30 trillion. Bland says 60 trillion.
Yeah.
We actually do not know. Like, we know the speed of light, but we don't know the number of cells in the human body, do we?
No, we don't. And it doesn't even matter, though. Who cares? It's how many of the cells that we have remaining that make us who we are, how many of those are still functioning at peak capacity? That's the real question.
Isn't that great? Yes, absolutely. The quality of the food, the quality of the cell, the in-do-out principle. Francis Collins, the director of the human genome, he says it's 400 trillion. That's the highest I've ever seen. So I think it's cool how we're moving towards more understanding, and this ties in with, because I usually judge a person by their motto, like their mission statement, that usually confines my perception of who and what they are. And yours is, it's not that you age, it's how you choose to age. So what do you mean how we choose to age, if somebody was asking you that question? What do you mean by that?
It's what defines us. It's basically, you know, what drives you every single time you wake up in the morning. Are you someone who jumps out of bed because you can't wait to enjoy the day, and you look at things in a very positive manner because you understand that the chronological cycle means nothing? Like, it does not matter how many years you've been here on planet Earth. What matters is, how is every one of those, whatever, you know, 40 million, 400 billion, 100 trillion, it doesn't matter, how many of those cells that comprise you are aging the right way? I call that bio-age, biological aging. And many researchers nowadays can basically ascertain how old you are from the inside out just by looking at a couple of factors. And these are factors that you, Dr. Hawley, and myself have been teaching for, you know, God knows how long now, but that is, how much muscle have you been able to retain throughout the overall aging process, no matter how old you are on paper, and how strong are you still? How well are those cells that are comprising the lean body mass of your body right now, how well are they producing energy? And it turns out that the average person in North America, and here's another thing before I get there, you know, a lot of people argue with me about this term of normalcy or being normal. You know, they say to me, well, isn't it normal to lose a lot of muscle mass? And I say, well, yes, it is normal. You're absolutely right, because the average person in North America loses up to one half of their lean body mass by the time of retirement age. So is that normal? Yes, because the majority of the population experiences it. Is it right? Is it healthy? Absolutely not. Does it need to occur? Absolutely not. This is a choice that we make through inactivity, through excess stress, through not sleeping effectively, through negative thinking constantly, and through putting the wrong fuels into the machine. We were all given a manual at birth. Many of us forget about this. We were told by nature what allowed the machine to function at peak capacity, and we changed the game. We didn't change the machine. The machine has always been the same, but we decided to gunk it up. We decided to put whatever fuel was never part of our evolutionary existence into that machine, and yet we scratch our heads when we get to be a certain age, chronologically speaking, and wonder why we've broken down to the degree that we have. We make the choice, and that's all I mean about you choose how old you want to be. You don't have to prematurely age on a cellular level. You can turn that around at any single time.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, going back to this trip, I met this woman. She's 92, and she's driving this Cavalier, which she says, I've got 80 kilometers on it. It was 2000. So she's had this car this long, mint condition. Now, this is a vehicle. She keeps it parked in the garage. She cleans it. She maintains it. She's hardly driven it. But you can see that as an analogy, right? Or you can leave your car outside and abandon it, not maintain it. It gets worn out by the elements and driving, and that's, I guess, why they've used this analogy about our vehicle is like a car. But like you've always made clear, it's alive, you can change it, it's wonderful, this knowledge of epigenetics. So now you're talking about protein and the significance of sarcopenia, the lean body mass loss, and the connection. And I've been using your high-performance whey, your ultimate high alpha whey protein. Tracy and I love it. We feed it to our grandkids. The whole family's on it. I'm promoting it to everyone. It's great. It's great to know the formulator personally, I tell people. But I want you maybe to help us understand what it is about this really good product that you think makes it special or unique, Brad.
Yeah, and it's not even what I think, it's what I know, and I'm going to explain that right now. Not all whey protein is created equal. We've known for a long time in the sports nutrition or sports science field that we need very, very high-grade building blocks of protein in order to allow the body to manufacture new cells and new tissue and new hormones and new immune cells and so on and so forth. I mean, we are protein. We don't have a reservoir for protein other than what you see on the human body, the skin, the hair, the nails, the eyes. That's your reservoir. What you don't see and what animates the human being that you're watching or listening to into action is all protein-based, whether it's the enzymes, whether it's the neurochemicals, whether it's the immunoglobulins that run the immune system, whether it's the skeletal system, whether it's the muscular system. That's all protein-based. So we need a tremendous amount of these amino acids, these building blocks of protein that turn over every single day, every second of every day. And if we don't give the body very high grades of those building blocks, the body takes it. It's going to take it regardless. So if it doesn't have it from an outside source, if it's not flowing in, what happens is it takes it from existing structures, which in my opinion and what the research is showing is one of the main areas behind why we experience what you just mentioned, which is sarcopenia, that comes from the Greek word meaning losing flesh or vanishing flesh. So, you know, if we don't have enough of the building blocks, now, not all protein is created equal. Yes, a lot of people go to stores and buy things like whey protein because they've read about it and they know it's a very high-grade protein, but it really depends on where the beginning product came from. Was it from a grass-fed cow? Was it from a cow that's fed conventional foods like grains to fatten them up for slaughter? That changes the hormonal and the chemical or the biochemical environment, which in turn transfers that into the whey, and then when we take it, we experience the same types of things. With my whey protein, this happened over 10 years ago when I was looking into why people tend to break down so quickly. One of the main reasons, once again, was because we don't get enough high-grade amino acids. People think they may have a lot of protein. A lot of the research is showing we have deficits in protein intake. A lot of the protein we are eating is very low quality, or it's degraded because it's denatured by excess heat. It unfolds. It's not biochemically compatible with the human physiology anymore. But if you look at the most perfect form of protein that was ever designed, not by a scientist, by nature, by Mother Nature, what you find is breast milk. And in breast milk, and I'm talking about human breast milk, in human mother's breast milk, you find two very important protein structures. One is casein, but it's not the same casein that's found in cow's milk, and it's not the same casein that you buy in the store that's pasteurized, heated, degraded, denatured, unfolded, non-recognizable by the human body. It is casein in its most viable form. Over 50% of protein in mother's breast milk is casein, but it's raw, it's native, it's natural. The body recognizes it, uses it, incorporates it, distributes it, does what it needs to do with that protein. The other 33% of that protein turns out to be the most important protein ever discovered, and that's something called alpha-lactalbumin. Alpha-lactalbumin contains the most perfect protein efficiency ratio, biologically valued protein, meaning the body looks at it and says, wow, I know exactly what to do with that. It takes it in, it incorporates it, it utilizes it, it uses very little to none of it for nitrogenous waste, so none of it is wasted for energy. You don't need protein to create energy. That's insufficient types of proteins that are utilized that create a lot of that nitrogenous waste. So it's incorporated into the body. And the beautiful thing about alpha-lactalbumin and the reason why our high alpha whey protein is so different from any other protein is we mimic exactly what's found in mother's breast milk. They're the exact same molecule. 33% of our high alpha whey protein is alpha-lactalbumin, which makes it perfectly compatible with human physiology, but it goes a step further. And what makes it so unique is one of the driving forces of premature aging in our bodies, and the reason why the number one prescription medication out there is for what we call a selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drug like Prozac and Zoloft and Paxil and Meridian is because people are going to their doctors because they're no longer happy. And they don't know how to get happy on their own. They actually think their doctors are going to be able to solve a biophysiological problem the majority of the time by giving them a drug, which doesn't work because it's been proven not to work. It turns out that stress is the driving factor for things like anxiety and depression and low moods and negative thinking. And the reason we have so much rampant stress in our society is because perception equals reality. We're all perceiving everything as horrible and unfixable, and things like being in a traffic jam is the worst thing that could ever happen to you in your entire life, and you are creating a hormonal milieu that is conducive to that fear response of what would have saved your life going back 100,000 years ago. And it turns out that every single time you stress, you create a biochemical environment that eats up an amino acid called tryptophan, and tryptophan is needed to make the happy chemical in the brain called serotonin. And if you don't have enough tryptophan, you're not happy, you're grumpy, you're irritable, you probably suffer from anxiety, you're probably on a selective serotonin reuptake inhibiting drug, and guess what? You don't sleep either, because the same chemistry applies to our sleep hormones, and at the same time, you wake up feeling the exact same way. And by the way, the majority of obese people who have disorder within their lives are all experiencing what I just spoke about, very low serotonin levels because they don't have tryptophan or because they're eating all that tryptophan off. And yet, it's found in the highest qualities, instantly available for the brain to make all those chemicals that I just spoke about in alpha-lactalbumin, Mother Nature's perfect protein.
Yeah, right on. Man, that's some really good stuff, Brad. God, it's nice to meet someone who knows their product inside and out. You remind me of me back in the retail days when I'd be studying bottles and calculate how much each capsule in a bottle would cost the consumer. And so, no, it's not expensive, man. It's like, you're the one that's got the issue. You got to get on this stuff, man. And so, oh, it's $18 a bottle. No, it isn't. It's only like 28 cents a capsule. Oh, okay, I'll buy it then.
Yeah.
You know? But I've got another container of yours. It's a new rice protein. I'm looking at the label right now. Organic sprouted brown rice protein. It's got this maca punch. Looks really good. I haven't tried it yet. I want to and I will. I am mixing other vegetable proteins. I like the hemp, but let's kind of settle this now, because in the course material I write about, there's a section I call the whey wars. And you remember when the whey came out, there was all these whey companies, ion exchange, nanofiltration, reverse osmosis, this is better than that, and so on and so forth. And now we've got this new category of war being waged. It's the vegetable protein producers saying whey's not good, whey's bad, don't take whey. And I want you to settle this for us and then maybe compare your whey protein isolate to a rice that you've made and why one should take the other and what the advantages or disadvantages are, so that we know what to say to our clients and our customers.
Well, very simple, and this isn't coming from me. This is not a marketing angle for me. When I put together a product, the last thing I want to do, believe it or not, is create more work for myself. You know, like you, Dr. Holly, what I like to do is I like to do exactly what you're doing. Talk to people, interview people, go out and lecture myself, teach people what they need to do, write books. That's my passion. That's why I jump out of bed every single morning. I don't want to run business. I'll be honest, I'm not a good business person. And it's because it's not my passion, which is why 10 years ago, when I started my own company and I walked away from all these royalties I was receiving from other companies where I created multi-million dollar lines, I did it with a partner because I knew that that partner at that time would be able to run the mundane, everyday stuff that I don't even want to look at, and I could concentrate on my research and my educating and everything else that I love to do. But if I don't see something in the market, or if I see a disservice in the market, and that's this is my opinion, this is what I've been seeing. I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan by any means. I'm what I call a nutritarian. I eat as high a nutritive dense diet as humanly possible. I'm also human, so every once in a while, as you will attest to, you know, we were at a party, and, you know, we ate really well. We had a phenomenal meal. I mean, obviously, the hosts were great, and then there was dessert at the end, and the dessert came out, and you stuck to your guns, and I was really impressed, and I didn't. I just said, you know what? I like dessert, and I'm going to eat dessert because I don't do it every single day, and that was just me, but the majority of the time, I follow a very stringent protocol, because if I was to eat dessert every single day, I wouldn't look or feel or perform or even think the way that I presently do. But when I looked at what was being offered to the majority of vegans and vegetarians and just people that are looking for a higher grade plant-based diet lifestyle, I didn't like what I was seeing. And the reason I didn't like what I was seeing is because I looked into the research of just the proteins, for example. You know, there is something you can't lie about, and that's something called biological value comparisons of various proteins. The reason whey protein has been spoken about as the gold standard in the industry is because it happens to come out very high on what's called the biological value index. The BV provides a measurement of how efficient the body is able to utilize the protein that's consumed in the diet. So it turns out that whey protein is one of the highest. It's a 98.1 on the biological value. All proteins are measured on that. Casein comes out at about a 70. Potato protein, believe it or not, and that is being offered. I don't know who would take potato protein, but it is being offered now. That comes out at about a 68 on the BV, and it turns out pea protein comes out at 48. It's the lowest on the biological value index. It's actually lower than soy. And I don't think you recommend soy. I know I certainly don't recommend soy. Soy is a 57 on the biological value index, and it turns out that rice, only if it is complete rice coming from the whole grain, meaning the germ, the endosperm, and the bran, actually comes out at equal to a touch higher than whey protein on the BV. It's actually a 98.2 it measures out. And for the first time ever, there was actually research from University of Tampa in Florida using human subjects that compared the actual protein that we have in our ultimate vegan energy protein with whey protein. Now, that's never been done before. They've never, ever been able to show that an animal-based protein is comparative in value in terms of regenerative ability, allowing the body to build actual lean body mass and lose excess body fat. They've never shown that it's actually come out comparable even to a vegetable-based protein. And this was the first time ever that they proved this and wrote it up in a peer-reviewed journal that the rice protein, as long as it is natural, organic, fermented, sprouted and uses the whole grain, once again coming from every part of the rice, not just the endosperm or the white part of the rice, but coming from the germ, coming from the bran. What ends up happening is you have an unsurpassed protein that is able to actually deliver almost the exact same, if not even a touch better, than any other super high-quality protein out there. And that's why I came out with this protein, because nobody else was offering this kind of quality with a vegetable-based protein.
Right, that's exciting stuff. Now, I know that when you examine the sequences of the amino acids and how they're connected to each other, they form these different peptides. They're going to vary from one protein to the next. You know, as an animal or a plant is generated genomically, those proteins are expressed. I was just reading some stuff about the expression of genes depends on enzymes, and those enzymes, of course, are built from the quality of the protein that you consume. So that's what you were saying about why it's so important to consume high-quality protein, because genes express pathways that lead to protein creation, but that depends on amino acids and other materials, raw materials. So what you're saying then is that one could maybe combine the rice with the whey and get the different advantages, because I like the peptides in the whey. I think some of the immunologically enhancing values that I've read about and studied are significant that maybe aren't in the plants, but maybe we're moving towards a time where it's kind of a combo approach now.
I completely agree with you that you want to have variety as much as possible. And, you know, before I came out with this ultimate vegan energy protein, you know, I wouldn't use, personally, I don't like pea protein. It doesn't agree with me. I get, you know, a lot of bloating with it. It doesn't feel right digestive-wise. There's a lot of people that I know like that, but there's not a lot of alternatives out there, which is why, you know, people are going for these big brands that have pea protein as over 50% of their protein matrix. But, you know, there's a major reason for that. This is one of the lowest-priced proteins, low cost of acquisition, where companies can actually make a much higher profit margin off of those types of products. And I'm not saying they're going out there and harming people. I'm just saying, listen, a lot of these companies may be thinking about the bottom line, which is let's make as much money as possible. And that's why I moved away from big corporate companies to begin with that I was working for before, because I was sick and tired of that. I wanted to allow people to get the best bang for their buck possible. You know, we spend a lot of money on our nutritional products, and yet there's not a lot of trust out there in the marketplace. These people are business people. So when I went on my own, that was my whole motto of the company, was create products where people are going to be able to talk about them, and let's move those products by word of mouth rather than a $30,000 ad in the back of a magazine. But having said that, I think what we need to do with proteins, just as you're saying, Dr. Hawley, is that we need to stick as close to the higher grade amino acids. And there's one very easy way to do that. What you want to do is you want to look for the proteins that have the closest correlation of amino acid profiles to the human body. They must be human biophysio compatible. And that's exactly what the high alpha whey protein is. That's exactly what the ultimate vegan energy protein is. It actually has a 98% amino acid correlation to mother's breast milk, the same as the high alpha whey protein. So when I take these now, I mix one scoop of the ultimate energy protein and one scoop of the high alpha whey protein, and I know I'm being protected that way. I know I'm giving my body the best bang for the buck so that it will be able to repair, regenerate, turn over, replace, and replenish all those cells that it should be doing every 24 hours.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That was on my mind because, you know, as I travel and lecture, people ask me, this is a big issue right now I find in retail too, and the competitors that are pushing against the whey are flagging it and denouncing it and saying bad things that are not true. Of course, this is not good politics and this is not goodwill in the industry, but you know this happens. So I want my people to know that it's okay to use as an alternative to whey for different reasons, a nice quality plant protein, but that plant protein you can't take for granted. And I just love the fact when I turn the label around and I see that organic sprouted brown rice, brown is the key protein, and it's whole, and like you said, it's fermented, and it's an entirely different creature and animal. And we love brown rice, and it's a good, clean food. Brad, we're running out of time, but I just want to get a quick summary, a couple of lines maybe, a summation of your book, Beer Belly Blues. Just give us some insight about what someone might find in the book that could be helpful for them.
Yeah, and by the way, people can get more information on that at beerbellyblues.com. You know, Beer Belly Blues was a book that I wrote and dedicated to my late father. You know, it's one of those, I wish I knew then what I know now. And, you know, just a touch of it, like just a bit of it is about things like prostate disease that men go through, and there's so much misinformation being given out there. And it's not even really the doctor's fault, because, you know, a lot of doctors are giving this misinformation because they're being taught the wrong information in medical school. Things like, hey, testosterone is really bad for a man's body after a certain age, or testosterone is like throwing gasoline onto a fire if you have prostate issues or a family history of prostate issues. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, we have to understand, for a man's body, and this is why I wrote Beer Belly Blues. I called it Beer Belly Blues because if I would have said, you know, obesity blues or something like that, men wouldn't have bought the book. Very few men read as is. So beer belly, no man's going to admit that he's getting fat or he is fat, but men are men and they drink beer. That's a manly thing to do. So they say, hey man, I that's a beer belly. That's what it is. And we can now more or less tell how much testosterone the average man has in North America by looking at the size of his waist. It turns out that men that have a waist size of 40 inches or more, and that is basically the majority of the population over the age of 40, these men typically produce 30% less testosterone than men that have a waist size of 37 inches or less. And the reason for that is, as we lose our valuable hormone of testosterone, which is important, it is the most important health factor in the male body. When it's abundant, it's at the core of our energy, our stamina, our sexuality, our ability to stay lean and strong. But when it's deficient, which it is, and that's been proven in the majority of people, it's at the core of fatigue and disease and aging and obesity and erectile dysfunction and lost libido. And it controls how you look today, how you feel today, how you perform today, and how you even think today. You can bring back those levels, and you can do it naturally. And that's why I wrote Beer Belly Blues. The blues of Beer Belly Blues comes in because it has been proven that men that have lower than healthy, so-called healthy levels of testosterone, have close to a 300% greater risk of suffering from clinical depression and other mood disorders. So, you know, what have women been calling us all this time? Grumpy old men. They call it the grumpy old man syndrome. Well, guess what? It's very real. And, you know, whether you're suffering from lost energy, losing your muscle, lowered metabolism, starting to lose your memory, if you're on statin medications or you've been diagnosed with other cardiovascular disorders or diabetes or anemia, or your belly is growing, or you've lost the interest in sex, or you can't even get an erection anymore, all of that can be turned around with the information that's in that book.
Yeah, that's a great book. I've been handing it out left, right, and center. I've got some young men reading it right now, and they're asking me questions, and they're fascinated by things they're reading about. They've never heard, of course, they went through the public education system, never heard anything that's in the book, so it's a great read. Could change lives. So we've got transforminghealth.com, a primary website that our people can go to, and also beerbellyblues.com. Any other websites?
Absolutely. For the people that are interested in plant-based nutrition, ultimatevegan.com. And we also have another website, which is ultimatemalesolution.com. And please find me on Facebook, because that's where I answer these questions. I don't do it on the web. The web is for things like my newsletters and for coupons and for getting, you know, really good information and for finding out about products and all these things. But on Facebook, Transforming Health with Brad King, that's where I do the majority of my question and answers.
Wonderful. And so if people want to buy this stuff or send clients to buy it, they go to the health food stores and they can also buy it online. Isn't that true?
Only out of Canada. We don't compete with the health food industry in Canada. Outside of Canada, transforminghealth.com.
So we're not deleting the Americans out of the loop?
Not at all. Not at all. We sell a lot of product to a lot of Americans and a lot of American physicians, believe it or not, which are on things like our protein and our wild greens and the male energy and her energy and so on and so forth.
That's wonderful. It's just remarkable where you're at and the quantifiable amount of data that comes out of your brain and through your lips. And what a wonderful speaker you have evolved into, a beautiful writer. You've got a really good gig going. You're one of the good people in the industry, Brad. It's really nice to know that you're out there doing the work that you're doing. I love using your product because I know you. I know the integrity in you. And so, therefore, that transfers into the products that you make because you have a lot of pride and a lot of concern with health. And so maybe you can leave us with something from your heart that could emotionally affect us. I notice that people today are struggling with doing the work, or they're ignorant, they don't know how to do the work, or they are trying to save the world instead of themselves. What do you say to these people that just aren't doing what needs to be done? How do we get them to do the work?
Well, you know, we're the only ones that can make that difference in our lives. And, you know, I learned that the hard way. I learned that when my own mother wouldn't listen to me, when I tried everything and I said, you know, don't give up and don't listen to the doctor and let me put you on a program and let me bring weights to your home and exercise you. And she just gave up. She was like, well, no, the doctor said I have 3 months, so I'm going to do whatever I can in 3 months just to enjoy what I have left. And I thought, how sad is that? I mean, that happens in certain cultures around the world when you get people like witch doctors that put a spell on individuals and tell them they're going to die in 10 days, and they die in 10 days. Our belief system is everything, and we have to believe in order to achieve something, in order for something to become our new reality, our destiny. And we have to believe in the core of our being that it's not only true, it can not only happen, that it's already happening, that it's already happened. And we need to put ourselves into that place, and we need to move in the proper direction and understand that every day that goes by that we don't move our bodies properly, or we don't eat the right foods, or we don't think the right thoughts, or we don't care enough. Even, you know, the heart is so important. And I know for a lot of people, I'm very selective who I talk about the energy of the heart with, because heart-centeredness, which I am starting to learn more and more about, there is a biochemical electromagnetic field that comes out from the heart that basically is many, many times more powerful than even the brain. And we are literally all bathing in that biomagnetic electrical field. So be very careful of the thoughts that you express. Be very careful of the things that you say to people. Be very careful of the things that you say to yourself, and start doing the right things, but don't wait for tomorrow, because too many people do that, and unfortunately, there's not enough tomorrows for the majority of those people.
My special guest on SNU has been Brad King, well known in Canada as an authority on nutrition, obesity. He's an author, a formulator, a great teacher, a great speaker. Brad, thank you very much for your contribution, for your products, for your books, and for everything that you're doing to help us become more conscious of the things that we need to do to stay well. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Dr. Hawley.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.